I just get excited. Thank you, worship team. They were wonderful, huh? Yeah, they just... So blessed by all of them, a group of talented musicians that are very blessed. I'm going to actually start off. She doesn't know this, but I'm kind of going to use my wife as an example on something this morning. So I ain't talked to her about it yet. So a lot of times folks will come to me and they'll say things like, "Ah, she's so lucky that she can sing and play the piano and, you know," and I'll say, "Yeah, she's really blessed by that." And people who are not Christians, they go blessed, and I go, "Yeah, I guess they're blessed." And people who are Christians, they understand that she's blessed. But here's the reason why she's blessed is because God has created some huge opportunities for her. But what's really cool about it is my wife has never had a singing lesson, never had a piano lesson, and that is truly God. See, that's like, you know, and sometimes God will just do things for you and just put things in front of us, but sometimes if we're not looking for those things, we'll miss the opportunity. We'll miss the mark. And it's kind of like what I want to talk about today. I mean, how many of us have ever known people who just seem to be lucky? They go their way, things happen the way they want to. I have had some friends that they do something, they set out to do it, and it works. They don't have to put a whole lot of effort into it, a whole lot of thought into it. It just works for them. And I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of cool. So then I started thinking about this whole thing about being lucky. And we're going to move into this a little bit with the scriptures, but I started looking at good luck. And I had this theory. It's not a theological theory. It's just this thought. And I thought that kind of like when a person is lucky, it's kind of like when one's preparedness meets God's opportunity. So that's a Byron theory. It's just... You know, I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know, that's kind of really what luck kind of is. And see, when God's opportunity call is answered by us, then we are blessed. So as I was talking about my wife, God had an opportunity call. She stepped into that call and got blessed. So, you know, so again, so good luck to me is more like when one's preparedness meets up with God's opportunity. Now, some people are obviously blessed by God, and I love to be around people who are blessed by God. I hope you do, too, because I love to be around those people. I want to learn from them. I want to know how they got what they got, how they did what they did, how they're doing what they're doing. I just want to be next to them so I can figure it out and learn and just glean from them, because then I want some of that to rub off on me, you know? Yeah, so. Now, see, here's the thing. The world doesn't use the term blessed. The world calls it fate. And see, so then I thought, well, let me go and see what the Bible says about fate. You know, because when people talk about, oh, they're so lucky, oh, it must have been fate. And I'm thinking, well, okay, that wasn't my thought of what luck was. So I looked up. Right away, I said, well, let's see how many verses I can find quickly with fate. And I came up with 15 verses right away about fate in the Bible. But here's the thing. In the Bible, fate was not associated with an opportunity by God. Fate had nothing to do with luck in the Bible. In fact, fate in the Bible was not a good thing. It was associated with wickedness, death, or some kind of finality. And I thought, well, I hope these folks, I don't want them talking about ever saying there's some fate on me for something, because I don't want that. So, as Christians, there are times in our lives that we either look back and can identify exactly that we knew God had done something in our lives, and we know it was Him moving and doing and grooving and doing what He had to do. And a lot of times we just can't explain how or why. And we talked about that last week. Now, when we can't explain how or why and things are happening and we know it's God, we would say that's a divine intervention. A miracle is caused by God's active involvement in the world and in our lives. His active involvement in us and what's taking place. It's only by His doing that this action takes place. That makes it a miracle. Divine intervention may lead to a divine opportunity, which in the end may turn into a divine miracle. And a miracle is an event that is attributed to the divine intervention. Follow me? All right. It was deep. I'm going to say it. All right. She said, say it again. That's deep. All right. A divine intervention may lead to a divine opportunity, which then may end up and in turn lead and become a divine miracle. That opportunity, that intervention by God can be an opportunity by God, which can turn into a miracle by God. Does that make sense? All right. So that miracle is attributed to some kind of event that's taking place in our lives. And here's the thing. So then I thought, well, let me dive into this even deeper and break down what an event actually is. So I looked it up and I figured, well, okay, I'll go to the first place, the easiest place. I'll go to Webster, see what they say. And they said, well, okay, an event is something that happens or is regarded as happening, an occurrence, especially one of some importance. The second definition was the outcome, issue, or result of anything. But the third one stood out to me, which was something that occurs in a certain place during a particular interval of time. And I thought, yeah, okay. Particular place, specific interval of time. God controls all the time, and we can't even, and He's right in that moment, right at that exact time. God shows up and does stuff. Nah, okay, that's when miracles take place. I'm thinking, yeah, I get that. So then I said, all right, it's through our events that God creates His opportunities for us. When we faithfully step into His opportunities, we might find ourselves walking in His favor. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to walk in favor. Y'all want to walk in favor? Amen. I want to walk in favor. And here, the people who hear God's voice the best are the ones who know His word the most. Does that make sense? That's right. All right. Isaiah 61. This is talking about the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Woo! That is hot. Love it. We all want to hear from God. But here's the question. Are we putting ourselves in the best position to do so? John 8:31 through 32 says, Jesus said to His followers, "If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You know, it's funny. Today, and I'll pause there for a minute. I had an opportunity to go and sit in Pastor Pam's Bible class this morning before church. And as they were going over the study, different people were sharing and answering questions. And every question that they answered was a part of this message. And you know that is God when God is doing that and making that happen. And this and the truth shall set you free is one of the things that came out in the message. And those who were there are going to hear other things in this that came out. And I love it when God does that. Because that means that we're united. That means we're of one accord. That means we're one church. We're of one mind. We're of one body, one spirit, and we're connected and we're together. And I love it when that happens. So if we hold to his teachings, as it says in 8:31, which meaning that we must live in it, abide in it, and follow it, and then we know truth. Is that what the scripture says? If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Holding to the teachings are abide in it, follow it, walk in it, live in it. See, this is how we know that we're hearing from God, and this is how we know that it works. When we abide in his word, we will know his voice, and his voice is the truth. Bible scriptures is God talking to his people. Your Bible, the word that comes alive, is his voice talking to you. So in order to hear from God, you must know scripture. And often we miss the opportunity and his favor when we miss hearing his voice. Now, I don't care if you want to speak in tongues or sing prophetically or just need to hear God's voice. You must be in the word in order to hold to the teachings of the word, then follow and abide in the word so you can not only hear but know his voice, which is truth. And God has given us scripture. He gave us the word. He gave us what we need to know and hear. It's his word. The word of God is his communication tool to us. It's his voice. So how do you know when God's talking to you? Well, the first way we know is because he talks to us through his word. Right here, right in our book. That's how he talks to us. Now, in order to hear God talking to you about your next opportunity or the next big thing you need to do in your life or the next big decision you have to make in your life, you must be in and know his word. The more you know his word, the better you hear his voice. So when people tell me, I just can't hear from God. I just don't know. I'm praying and I'm doing and I don't know what God wants me to do. And I don't want to. So the first thing I said, well, are you in the word? You can't hear from him because you're not paying attention to what he's trying to tell you. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to tell you what you need to know, but you haven't spent a whole lot of time with him this week. So you might be having difficulties connecting and hearing and receiving because you kind of put them over here for a minute. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And I keep hitting the word opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In other words, don't waste your time on silly stuff or you could miss your mark. That's right. Miss the opportunity of what God has for you because you're focused on other things and he's been trying to talk to you and tell you, but you can't listen because you hadn't spent a whole lot of time with him. Our lives, from the moment we receive Jesus until we see him face to face, should be displayed of excitement and joy. If you hear God's voice, have the courage to respond to it. If you're in his word and he's talking to you and you can hear him say stuff, step up and respond to what he's telling you. Here's the thing. I'm a big risk taker. My wife has had after... We've been 26 years this month, and I'm a big risk taker. She is not. She's had to live with a man who just, I'll go, yep, that sounds cool. and I just go right for it and do like that. And she's more like, well, if God's telling you to do that, then I guess. So you need to pray about this and make sure. You need to pray about that and make sure. I'm kind of like, I'm like, cool. No, it's all good. We got this. Come on, God, let's go. You know, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. The times that God has not been in that decision have not been good. And I'll just put out there, she won't go into detail, but I'm just going to tell you, I've had made some decisions that have not been good. But here's the thing. I do try to walk, especially nowadays, and walk in a faith, because I do believe and I feel that if God is with me, I can accomplish anything and I can do it in record-breaking time. So I don't really worry a lot about things if I know God is there and he's directing it and leading it and guiding it. Then I don't worry about a whole lot because I'll be like, no, this is totally God and I can tell. And I recognize that a lot of people, you know, sometimes are not big risk takers. I'm not out there trying to tell y'all to be big risk takers and that's what you need to do. But sometimes God requires us to take a little risk. He wants us to step out and take a little risk. In fact, if we talk about the story of the Good Samaritan, if the fear of robbers could have kept the Good Samaritan from helping the wounded man, but he chose to act anyway. The fact that Jews and Samaritans were enemies didn't stop him from having compassion on someone else. See, we're supposed to live by faith and not by fear. We're supposed to walk in faith and not have any fear or any doubt. But see, if we're not seeking the Lord and hearing his voice because we're not in his word, then we, who knows how we're walking? We're blind. We really don't hear. We don't know. We're just kind of out there. See, the doors that God opens, the doors that God provides might include an element of danger or difficulty. For me personally, these are things that I don't worry about. If I'm with God, I don't care. I hear stories a lot of times. A lot of folks don't want to come and do inner city ministry. They don't want to come to inner city because it's New Orleans. They don't want to come to mid. We're inner city, but we're mid city, you know. And this, they're like, well, we don't want to go there because it's the city, and all kinds of stuff happen, and there's all kinds of issues and people. And I'm thinking, issues, people, trouble. That's where ministry needs to be. That's where we need to be. That's kind of like, isn't that what we're supposed to be? You know, we're supposed to be helping people who are in trouble, who have needs, and where the issues and the drama are. We could be in a suburb where there's not a whole lot of drama, and you can do ministry there. But this is grassroots stuff. We can get some stuff done here to some people who really need it. So how we respond to God's opportunity reveals whether or not we are acting out of faith or out of fear. And so we need to check ourselves and find out how we're responding to God's opportunity that he's presenting for us. So do you have the courage to act when God asks you to, even when there's an element of risk involved? People, we should be alert to be looking for those opportunities that God is providing for us. But again, we got to be in his word so we can hear his voice. Because, see, with him, our focus is we should be looking to touch the lives of others. As we read in Ephesians 5:15, God instructed us to be wise in our decisions and alert to the opportunities, as the scripture says, the opportunities that he provides. If we are paying attention, we get to choose to respond to God. If we're paying attention. And if you know God's voice by knowing his word, you will have no problem stepping into something by faith. For many of us, we miss the opportunities that come. We miss the opportunities that God has presented before us. And sometimes we ignore God's voice because our focus is on things or needs defined by this world. And maybe we are having difficulties hearing from God because we are not in His Word like we're supposed to be. Well, this certainly is not anything new. Just folks not being in the Word and staying connected to God and not being able to hear His voice, this has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. Many of us approach seeking opportunities as what's in it for me. We look for the opportunity and go, what am I going to get? How much money am I going to get on this new job? How is there advancement for me? Can I grow? Should I be able to take, should I date this person or not? What benefit is it going to be to me to date this person? You know, we always look at what's in it for me. How can I get what I need out of it in order to get what I need? Here's the thing. When we do that, that's us ignoring God's voice. And we're ignoring it because we're focusing on the things of this world and not on Him and what He really is trying to connect us to, the opportunity He has for us. See, an opportunity is a favorable occasion where we have the option of making a decision that could have a positive impact. I'm going to say that again because that's another deep one. An opportunity is a favorable occasion where we have the option of making the decision that could have a positive impact. And having a positive impact is all about somebody else. It's nowhere near seeking an opportunity for yourself. Now, however, as believers, we sometimes fail to notice an opportunity from God because we see it as an obstacle or some kind of interruption to our lives. We don't want our lives to be interrupted or disrupted and changed, and you know, but they're supposed to be shaken. See, in the Bible, the Good Samaritan, again, I'll use it as an example, recognized a divine opportunity when he saw one. His godly action revealed his devotion to the Lord. We, too, need to demonstrate our spiritual condition by how we respond to the opportunities God sends us. In the same story, the priest and the Levite viewed the man by lying down by the side of the road as an inconvenience. As spiritual leaders, and we all are, they should have first helped a suffering man. God's word, His law, commanded them to love their neighbors as themselves, as it says in Leviticus 19:18, and it references again also in Luke 10:27. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. See, they missed a chance to demonstrate God's love. And in doing so, they revealed the true nature of their individual relationship with God. They missed the opportunity. They missed the mark. Jesus is the Lord of all of our lives. And see, if we ignore God's given opportunities, we fail to let Christ direct our lives. Once we discern that the Lord is asking us to take a step in faith, the next step then is to act in obedience. So we take that step and we act in obedience. So let's look at seven biblical passages where people had the opportunity to respond to or ignoring the Lord. Number one, God provides all of us an opportunity to share. When Jesus and the disciples met a hungry crowd, a young boy got to participate in a remarkable miracle. In John 6, 1 through 14, it says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and that's the Sea of Tiberias. And the great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. And the Jewish Passover was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where should we buy bread for all these people to eat?" Now, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. This, to me, is really cool. Jesus, at the time, was the coolest cat in the land. Smooth, calm. He would do things already knowing what the answers was. I already know how people were going to respond. So he turns, and it's almost like he's having a little fun. You know, and he's like, to me, that is just, it's just too cool. Because he's like, yeah, so, you know, what do you think we should do? How are we going to feed these people? What do you think? You know, and to me, that's just too cool. I was like, you know. And so Philip answered him and said, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." And another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "Well, here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" And this is when Jesus gets cool again. He's like, I got this. He's like, yeah. How do people sit down? Just totally chill. I love it. He goes, "There was plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down, and about 5,000 men were there." Now the disciples are tripping because they're like, they're hungry. They're going to have an attitude. You know, I know how you get when you're hungry. You know, and then you got 5,000 people who are hungry and need to eat. And he's totally calm. He's like, just have him sit down. And they're all like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And to me, this is great. I love this. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks. And then he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." And what's the lesson? The lesson is the boy. See, this boy gave his food sacrificially and was blessed to witness Jesus multiply his offering. Like that boy, you and I will rarely anticipate how God wants to use us, so watch for opportunities to experience the joy of giving. Number two, God provides all of us with an opportunity to serve him. In Matthew 4:18 through 20, it says, Jesus called Peter to leave his successful fishing business to take on a risky new venture of being his disciple. But because he stepped out in faith, God used him in a powerful way to help him establish the early church. Through Peter, we learn that we can be confident no matter how unqualified we may feel, as the Lord will always enable us to walk through the doors he opens. Amen. Number three. God provides all of us an opportunity to grow in intimacy with him. As we talked about a few weeks ago in Luke 10:38 through 42, we talked about Mary and Martha. Now, Mary, the sister Martha, wisely chose to listen to Jesus' teaching. She chose to sit at his feet. She chose to be in his presence. She chose to put everything else aside to be with him. Instead of being overly concerned about Martha's meal preparations. Here's the thing. We should never allow unnecessary busy work rob us of our opportunity to be with our Christ Savior. We should not allow anything to distract us to be in his presence. Number four, God provides all of us an opportunity to help others. In Luke 5, 17 through 26 says, one day Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fella? Speaks blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew that Jesus being the cool, smooth cat of the land, he's sitting there going, he hears it, he knows, he's like, and he's, I can just see him just shaking his head going, "Forgive him, Lord, just, you know, let me educate them right quick." He's like, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, and he took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." The friends of this paralyzed man were determined to make a way for this man to see Christ. So they ripped a hole in the roof of the crowded house where the Lord was teaching. As a result, they had joy of seeing their friend not only be healed, but saved of his sins. See, we too must be willing to do whatever God asks of us, even if helping others involves pressing through a challenge. Number five, God provides all of us an opportunity to witness for Jesus. In Acts 16, Paul had the opportunity to tell his jailer how to be saved. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Paul's willingness to witness to him brought that man plus his entire household salvation. It wasn't just him, it was him and his entire household just for him stepping out to witness. See, he realized that his responsibility was to preach the gospel and leave all the other consequences to God. Like Paul, we must share our faith without worrying about how people may respond or receive it. Number six, God provides all of us an opportunity to understand who Jesus is. In Luke 19, 1 through 10, tells a story of Zacchaeus. Love this story too. Zacchaeus is the tax collector. He climbed a tree with his determination because he wanted to see the Messiah. He wanted to see Jesus, and he wanted to know who he was because he was so short, he couldn't see over the crowds. So he ran over and climbed up on a sycamore fig tree just so he could see the Messiah. Now, back then, climbing a tree was a little undignified, a little uncivilized. People don't climb trees. But this man wanted to see the Messiah so bad, he just wanted to do whatever he had to do. And I understand, he was a little physically challenged. He was, you know, so he's like, "I got to do something. There's a tree. There's my answer." And that's what he did. So I get that. So when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, which people do. And they're like, he's gone to be at the guest of a sinner. How dare you? He's a sinner. He's going to be with a sinner. He can't be with his house. He's going to stay at his house. Blah, 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 blah. And I can just hear it. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." You know he was touched as a tax collector. You know he was feeling something. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The tax collector's life was so transformed when Jesus just reached out to him. Don't let other people or difficult circumstances discourage you from responding to the opportunities that God sends your way. Number 7, the last one. God provides all of us an opportunity to receive salvation. In Mark 10:17-22, a rich young ruler asked Jesus what he needed to do in order to inherit eternal life. Jesus, again, already knowing the situation and knowing this person's circumstances, being as cool as he is, he looks at the man and he says, "Only one thing you lack." Only one thing you lack. You can have what you ask for. Just only one thing you lack. And he just lets him have it. He says, "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come on and follow me." But unfortunately, this ruler chose not to heed Jesus' instruction. And what happened? He missed his mark and his opportunity for salvation. See, our actions reveal our heart. If we are reluctant to give our time, our attention, our money, and our effort to help others, then we need to take a good look at our relationship with God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. So I wonder what opportunities the Lord has set for you today. Or what opportunities have come your way that you really need to hear His voice on. Are you ready to respond to His voice and answer His call? And are you really ready to do it despite what anyone else thinks, and even if he's requiring you to take some risk in doing it? Sometimes God asks us to go through tough situations in the beginning because he knows it will bring about good in the end. I just pray today that we realize
how your opportunities for us have a greater overall impact, Lord. I pray that we focus on those opportunities, Lord. I pray that we make wise decisions. And that we recognize only the opportunities that you have placed before us, Lord. And that we understand that these opportunities are by you. They're not interruptions to our life. God, begin to open our eyes. I pray for a discernment to recognize the daily opportunities and that we have the courage to respond in faith every time. Every time that we respond in faith. And as an act, our response to you in faith is an act of obedience to you, because we know you will do great things in us and through us.